What are our most anticipated movies and shows of 2024? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, specifically the movies, TV shows, comic books we might be looking forward to in 2024. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. Good morning, Roxy.
What's up, DJ?
So today, as I just implied, we're going to be talking about the movies and shows that we're most excited for in 2024, specifically... We decided on 8. Roxy, why did we decide on the number 8?
Yeah.
What importance does 8 have in this context?
Well, when we're filming this right now, today is the first morning of Hanukkah. Last night was the first night of Hanukkah. By the time you're seeing this, it might be anywhere on the Hanukkah timeline. But there are 8 crazy nights, as Adam Sandler likes to say, of Hanukkah. Yeah. And when we were talking, DJ and I always do like, okay, what do we want to talk about next week? Or what do we want to talk about next month? And for Christmas time, we are more able to do like Christmas content, right? Like we can talk about what are the best Christmas movies or what movies you watch around the holidays. That doesn't exist for Hanukkah because there's just the Rugrats and like pretty much nothing else. So when I said to DJ, like, oh, I would love to add to some Jewish joy and, you know, not talk about the state of the world, just talk about you know, something that's actually completely not related to that, which is just the holiday and Jews in general. And DJ was like, great, let's do it. We might need to lean on you a little bit for it because, like, I don't know Hanukkah stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's because there isn't really Hanukkah media.
Yeah.
So instead, we were like, what if we just talk about the things that we talk about, but we have a little Hanukkah twist? So we picked 8 in honor of Hanukkah.
So for the uninitiated, is Hanukkah is more of a night game situation, like as opposed to Christmas's Christmas morning. There's a lot of emphasis placed on that. Hanukkah more night.
Yeah. So all Jewish holidays are sundown to sundown. So they're different in that sense where all of our holidays actually are night. And right now is the daytime of Hanukkah, but you don't light the candles until sundown. So that takes place at night. And most Jewish holidays, I saw this hysterical chart once, which is so accurate. Most Jewish holidays, like the entire center of the holiday is around food and drinks. So it's like we're very celebratory people. Most of our holidays have to do with surviving people trying to murder us and kick us out of places. So we like to honor that with booze and food. And so that's why I think a lot of them are at night, because you don't really booze and food too much in the morning. So
hey, it's night somewhere. No.
Totally. But yeah, it's definitely a more of a nighttime holiday. And there's not that much to it, like in terms of the celebration of it. We light the menorah. Some people will light special candles for people who have passed away, loved ones who have. There's gelt, if you guys have seen that. Those are the little Jewish gold coins that are chocolate that people eat. And dreidel, you guys have maybe seen, that game that a lot of the kids play that usually you win the gelt in. And that's kind of like the extent of Hanukkah.
I dig it. I also appreciate when you're talking about being primarily food and drink associated. Wow, that does require the consumption of things. For Spider-Verse, Sal and I were just watching Spectacular Spider-Man, and there's a Valentine's episode, and characters are like, oh, this holiday is so commercial. And my note to myself was like, every American holiday is buying candy or presents or whatever. So having something that's like, we eat and we drink, it's like, yeah, get back to the real stuff. Yeah.
Totally. That's what the Jews kind of tend to do. We do a lot of eating. I will say, though, some of our stuff is not like it's last night we did for Hanukkah. We did brisket and we have latkes. But like
love brisket.
Every family kind of does their own jam for Hanukkah. It's not like I feel like I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this, DJ, but isn't for Christmas usually it's a ham, right? Like most families do a ham. We don't have like a universal ham. I guess brisket's like our fake universal ham. Some people are kosher and you need kosher meat. So there's a whole rigmarole there. We don't have one thing except for the gelt. and yeah. latkes. Those are the two things, potatoes and chocolate.
Well, what's interesting, and forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn, but I think what is interesting, or at least largely unique, it seems, with the Jewish community, is when you're talking about, like, some people do it this way, some people do it that way. You know, it's obvious, it's a culture, it's a religious belief, you know, it's a lot of different things. Whereas, you know, something like Christianity, where there is a lot of different traditions, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, all that shit.
Right.
It is less, you know, it's, I would articulate it as less, cultural, you know what I mean? Like it is more of a specifically a belief system. Like you've been you've talked about being atheist, you know, like you can't really be atheist and Christian. That's, you know what I mean? That's not how that jam works.
Well, it's being an Ashkenazi Jew is an ethno religion. So like yeah. regardless of my faith or my beliefs, my yeah. blood, if you take it, comes up Jewish. That's like yeah. what my actual in my DNA, in my blood. So that's the ethno part of the ethno religion. And yeah, I do think that that's interesting too, because a lot of people, we have this debate all the time. Like people will ask this question commonly, are you a practicing Jew?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know how to answer that question because yes, in terms of I celebrate the holidays, I honor the traditions, yeah. I love my culture and my heritage. I think for the most part, we're a pretty cool gang. Mm-hmm. Some of us really went off the beaten path and fuck that. But like yeah. for the most part, we really got it together. But at the same time, I'm not a believer in God. So does that yeah. make me not a practice? Is that like the question? Are you a religious Jew?
No.
But in Judaism, there's levels and being a Reformed Jew, a lot of Reformed Jews don't believe in God, including my own. Growing up, my rabbi was like, I don't know.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Who knows? All I know is like, here are the Jewish teachings. And yeah. I learned about like our history when I went and was meeting with my rabbi once a week, like training for my bat mitzvah. We weren't learning about God. I was learning about all of the Jewish events. So
in that sense, the rabbi is more of a cultural, the teaches you more the cultural tradition.
He did. Yeah. And he yeah. was amazing about it. And not everybody, that's obviously not the experience for all Jews. There are then Orthodox Jews yeah. who of course their rabbi is not sitting down and talking to them about cultural events. Still, they probably are, but
yeah.
it's more about like, you know, the religion aspect of it. And that's similar to all religions, right? Like the more religious, the more Christian you are, not more, because it's not like you're more this, I'm as just Jewish the, yeah. as anybody, but the more, I guess, religious devout. You are,
yeah.
the more devout you are, the more devout Christian you are, Muslim you are, Jewish you are, whatever. And of course your teachings look differently. But for me, my rabbi was like very, very, who's to say? Mm-hmm. Like if you ask me what my thoughts are, I think there's something, but I don't know because I've never been there.
Yeah.
Only ever yeah. been there.
No, I relate to that because I think if pressed on it, I would probably say Christian agnostic for me, in that I was raised in Christian tradition. I did get values out of that I still find important, but my general belief system is, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's hard to say. However, in the Christian world, if you went to a pastor and they were like, I don't know. It's like, well, that's fine, but you should get a different job then. Like, that's not how pastors in the church work.
Yeah, totally. And I do think probably most rabbis have a sense of belief. Otherwise, they probably would have picked a different job. But yeah. some of them don't. And agnostic is a better word, DJ, for what I am. I grew up, like, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
But I do think being an atheist is almost the same as saying there is God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's saying there isn't.
And yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't happen to believe, but that does not mean anything. I have no idea. I don't believe in horoscopes, but that doesn't mean it's not real. It's not yeah. my belief, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe it seems to work for some people.
I wonder if there's something specific about our cultural moment where it's harder to feel. And of course, that's not true of everybody, but it is harder to feel like definitive about things. It's like, I don't know, man. Leave me. I just let people be. I don't know.
I think it's a really solid thing to say, DJ, because I think that this is across the board. I used to kind of have an easier time having a strong opinion on something.
Yeah.
And now maybe it's just with our age and not a cultural moment. Who knows if this is just kind of what happens in your 30s.
True. Where you're good just point. Like, yeah.
But it's like, as people are changing and developing in the world is, I'm just like, I don't know. My beliefs start and stop with human life matters. It shouldn't be taken so easily. Yeah. And I want peace and love for the world and everybody to have the day that they deserve, you know? Like, yeah. And that's kind of the extent of it. So it's like, I don't know what to say about, is there a God? And then the follow-up questions of, if there is, what is that? I'm not ready to answer that. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever know. Mm-hmm. I know I won't ever know. Unless one day I do know, I guess.
Yeah. This is connected to me. This might feel unconnected, but it's connected to me. I watch a lot of videos on like astrophysics and stuff like that. And once you start getting into like the scale of the universe and like your billions of years and the space and the scope and all that stuff, it's like how, yeah, man, it just feels... This is going to sound, I was going to say, it's hard to say you definitively know everything. I actually don't believe that. There are some things that I feel are like kind of true, but once you get, I think what I mean is when you get to something to the scale of like the concept of God and what that would mean, it's like, you know, you do you, man. Listen, my guiding light as I become older is this, as far as you know, if you're not hurting anybody, consenting adults, whatever, do you, as long as you're not hurting anybody. And maybe even yourself, as long as you're not hurting yourself. Just don't, you know, you do you. I'll do me. And it'll all be fine.
Yeah, totally, DJ. But I agree with that completely. I think that we have to acknowledge in life, though, that there is a day that if DJ and I were born in this year on this day,
mm-hmm.
that we would believe the earth was flat with our full chest. Like, mm-hmm. if prior to it being proved that the earth was round, because that's not my field. If somebody told me the earth was flat and that was the going rate,
yeah,
I would have been like, huh, interesting.
Yeah, so, time makes fools of us all.
So of course we don't know. Like, I'm sure there are things that we feel today, like we know this for a fact.
Yeah.
And that's actually not true. I'm sure that one of those things is about something huge, like mm-hmm. gravity. Who the fuck knows? But just that's not my field, and we can't pretend to know things we don't know. Anyway,
Roxy, tell us your hot takes on gravity. Anyway, that's a long way of saying
it doesn't exist, DJ.
Prove it to me. For everybody out there celebrating Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. I hope you're having a good one. And for our celebration on this show, because it's a pop culture show, is we're going to talk about the things that excite us in 2024. Because 2024 is a dark year, light in the dark. There's something there. There's something there. It works.
Only like 8 crazy pop things we're excited for, right?
Yeah. There we go. There it is. But before we get into all that, of course, if you want to watch the show live, if you want to check it out ad-free, if you want to check out Patreon-exclusive shows like Spider-Versity and what we're into, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. If you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. If you listen on Spotify, every week we do a question or a poll. Last week's poll was... Well, excuse me. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to get through it.
You almost did.
I was like, oh. Anyway... Should they reboot the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Roxy, have you seen this? Have you seen this already? I'm covering it as if you can see my screen right now. Have you seen the poll?
No, I didn't see the poll, but I was just about to pull it up.
Don't pull it up just yet.
Pull up the poll?
Yes. Yes or no? Do you think our audience thinks they should reboot the Marvel Universe? What does our audience think?
I clearly think they think no, DJ.
You're clearly right, Roxy. You're clearly right. No got 60% of the vote. Even though you were pretty definitive on and I think made a pretty solid argument. Our audience does not disagree. At least the ones that vote.
It's not what I want, DJ. It's what I need. It's what we all need.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And speaking of the amount of percentage of people that show up to vote, segue into our news. Excuse me. So let's start with this, a little bit bigger than the other news we want to talk about. If you've been listening to our show, you know DJ specifically has been sweating whether how this SAG vote's been going to go. Not to say people should vote one way or the other. It's just, you know,
sweating it. It's stressful for everybody in the industry to not know whether you're going to be out of work or not.
Yeah. And again, not value judgment in one way or another. Just, you know, just really, how's this going to play out? So I got this via Deadline. The vote happened on the 5th. 78% of the ballots were in favor of the November 8th tentative agreement. So what they're voting on is, you know, SAG came up with a tentative agreement with the studios to end the strike.
DJ?
Huh?
They came up with the agreement with who?
The studios.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to talk about them that much longer, DJ.
Yeah, I know. Thank God. I don't want to. If we're up to me, I'd love to never talk about them ever again.
AMPTPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPPP
to suggest another one since the studios, doesn't matter. So the actors were voting on whether they're going to ratify this agreement. Again, if you've been listening to the show, there has been concern over multiple parts of the agreement, but specifically AI. So they 78% voted to move forward with the agreement. So the strike is officially over. Rules required a majority vote of 50% plus one of ballots to ratify the new deal. In 2020, during the height of the pandemic, the last contract was approved by 74%. So this is higher than that. And in 2017, 76% of the voting members said yes to the three-year contract. It is worth mentioning that only 38% of the members voted, which when I first saw that, I don't know how you felt. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, geez. Then I found out in 2020, only 27% of SAG members voted. And in 2017, only 15% of SAG members voted. So I guess that 38% number is actually a pretty decent number. But in the grand scheme, that's like lower than midterm elections. Like that's some low numbers.
This is kind of a psycho thing to say, but I'm just going to throw it out there. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough. But
yeah,
the fact that there are 160,000 members in SAG.
That's a lot.
And some people that I know pay their dues. Mm-hmm. They've been paying their dues for 40, 30, 20 plus years without, that's not what they do anymore for a living.
Yeah.
That's not what they do. They just pay their dues because now that they paid their initiation fee, the dues aren't horrible and they pay them just because like they don't want to lose their status in the union and
yeah.
Allows you to get screener, different things, right? I kind of feel like at some point, maybe you shouldn't be in the union anymore. Like mm-hmm. if you have not booked in maybe, I don't know, like a long period of time, maybe 15 years.
Yeah.
Then maybe that you, or 10 years, or like you can't prove that you're auditioning or anything. That, because that's why I feel like the SAG issue was so difficult, is that there's just so many people that are so far apart in the union. Like it should be working actors that are voting on what happens to the working actors.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's just not the case. A lot of the time that my friends that are voting, I was like, you're in SAG? And they're like, oh yeah, I joined when I was like really young and I just have stayed. And it's like, that's not even close to your career anymore. What?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of strange. I don't know how other unions work, but it's not surprising to me, DJ, that such a low percentage of them vote, because such a low percentage of them are working,
yeah,
or trying to work.
Yeah. I agree with you. I will say, people that might not agree with you is SAG collecting those dues. They're like, no, keep sending in the dues, please.
Clearly and of course, but it's like, I don't know. Then maybe they can still be in SAG, but they shouldn't get say in this kind of thing where it actually affects people's lives. Like maybe there can be SAG inactive and SAG active members. And like, you know, I'm not saying if you haven't booked in the last couple of years, because being an actor is really hard and sometimes it takes a really long time. But I mean, like if you can't prove that you're auditioning or that you're booking in over a decade, then you're inactive. Then you're inactive. It's like, and the most people that I know that voted, yes. And again, this isn't me saying that you shouldn't vote yes, because I am stoked that this went through just for personal purposes. But a lot of the people I know who voted yes are non-working actors who just want to see movies and TV shows again.
Yeah.
Like they're like consumers.
Yeah.
It's like, that's bizarre.
Yeah, similar to you, like obviously for personal reasons, very glad that they voted yes. And I had, there was a moment, like I was just, I don't know how you felt on Fifth. I was just feeling it. I was just like, oh my God, you know what I mean? And I was like, did you don't tweet? Your opinion doesn't fucking matter. Keep your thoughts to yourself. And I had to like reflect a little bit, like really reflect for me. I reflected on it. And it was like, the truth is, I feel like it's a gamble either way. And for me personally, I really struggle with those. Like, it's one of those, like, are you, because if you go back on strike, how many months? Right. And then if you're on strike for three more months and then you get marginal gains, was it worth that? Was it worth that loss? Then again, if these issues do prove to be more challenging long term, you know what I mean? It's not, there isn't a clear cut. As much as I had strong feelings, I felt like the truth of it was, beyond my feelings, was there's not an easy answer. There's not a, this is the correct answer. I felt like it's more of a, like, if it's a gamble, what do you want to gamble on? How comfortable do you feel that this agreement's going to cover you for the next 3 years, versus if we go back on strike, how confident are you that you're going to get the things that you want to go on strike about, and it's not going to be just a little bit better minus however much work you lost in that? You know what I mean? It's not clear cut. It's tricky. It's tricky, I feel like.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that it's tricky. At the same time, I think it's like this is a double-edged sword, but we don't know what it looks like until it's in practice.
Yeah.
Especially the AI stuff. I think it's too conceptually confusing for people to sit in these massive town halls and hear people talk about, you know, one of the main points was like, right now it's more expensive for them to AI you than for them to pay you to show up for the day or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's today. Technology is going to change and shift and alter. AI is growing, right? Like, we don't know what this is going to look like. We also, it's a moving train that we can't fully stop.
Yeah.
So it's just, there's a lot. It's nerve-wracking as hell. I'm stoked that it passed in terms of like, all I want to do is work. But I am nervous that it passed. And part of me was like, do I hope that this doesn't pass? Because I really think that they didn't do a great job with the language surrounding the AI, especially surrounding AI. And I don't think that they did a great job with the language surrounding AI.
Yeah.
But I also really, really want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And those two truths exist at the same time.
Exactly. And as you pointed out in an earlier discussion, I can't remember which week we talked about this, but there's also the, maybe not confusion is not the right word, but like the discrepancy between AI and just general CG. Because I heard some people talking about, it's like, they're going to scan these people and like fill out stuff. And it's, and the way they were talking about it, it's like, you know, when you watch Game of Thrones and there's like a billion fucking soldiers, there's not a billion actors on set. You understand that, right? You know what I mean? Like that shit, like, and it's not ever gonna be, they can't, it's a little feasibly impossible. And then sometimes when it's like, well, the language is not specific enough, it's like, well, but how can, it's a general it's gonna be, you know what I mean? It's, on the one hand, I understand what you're saying, but on the other hand, it's like, you can't account for every agreement for every project,
right? It also has to be like predictive language, right?
Because
you do not know what it's going to look like. And this contract is for 6 years, and in six years from now, my guess is that AI looks drastically different.
Is it six? Or I thought it was for three. Maybe I misheard.
I think that in 3 years they negotiate, but they said that they are planning on having this be a 6 year, that they're not doing this for 6 years or something. Because you are right. In 2026, they are, I believe they're up for renegotiation, but I think that they said, actually, now that I'm saying six, I believe that they said something about 7 years. Like, we hope that for 7 years, we're not doing this again.
Well, either way, to your point, I feel like not to derail you, it's going to be for a chunk of time.
Yeah, a chunk of time. Totally. And you are right. I believe it's 2026 that all of the they said that we would whatever. But I don't even remember what it was that I was saying.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
No, you're right. It's good.
It was basically.
We don't know what the language is going to be in a few years. Like, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what the landscape's going to look like. And they tried to ramp it up in the contract for that purpose. But we don't know. You know, like, it's a beast, and will AI take everybody's job across every industry? This is a way bigger conversation than the SAG conversation, but that's something that we are going to have to deal with as a society. What are we going to do about this artificial intelligence moving train?
And I do think, and this you said earlier that, you know, like, you could be wrong. I could be wrong. I do get a sense that specifically the people trying to push AI, at least right now, are vastly overestimating its capabilities, because the technology we have now that we've had for a while that works doesn't really work. Like, I don't know if everybody else has this experience. These streaming apps that we've had for like almost 10 years now, each one of them is broken in weird ways. Like, which is not to say, I think this is part of the issue with this technology, these people pressing technologies, and the reason people pushing back on it is, in some ways, it makes our lives actively worse. So it's not to say that they won't try and push that stuff. And maybe this is me being naive. I've been known to be naive or overly optimistic before. But I do feel like they're going to run into more pushback. It's like, well, no, this is just bad. This is bad. And we won't, and not even from an altruistic, I want actors to work thing. It's like, as a consumer, I don't like this product. Give me a product I like more.
Totally.
Maybe that's me being overly hopeful, but to your point, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what even the next 3 years, if it's 3 years, 6 years, however many years, we don't know what that looks like then.
What did you think about the 50% threshold on this? Do you think that if 51% of a union wants to do something that this clearly wasn't even close to that. So it wasn't relevant in this conversation, but I do feel like that's pretty low standards. Like, as long as half of our people are cool with this, that's what the other half have to suck up.
I understand your point, and I would be open to hearing your thoughts on what the threshold should be.
I don't know.
In my brain, I'm comparing it to, at least y'all didn't have like an electoral college. Like, well, the actors in Florida actually have a higher vote than you know what I mean? Like, at least, like a solid, like solid majority wins. I was like, that's kind of refreshing, honestly.
I guess, but kind of like, wouldn't an electoral college make more sense in this than it would in our country? Like,
yeah,
doesn't it? Isn't there a big difference in like having rules across the board, but the cost of living being so much more in LA and New York than in a lot of the other places that this affects?
Like, yeah.
I'm not suggesting that's how that we do it, but like the actors that are voting based in Atlanta or based in Nashville or somewhere else, they obviously don't, it's not the same cost of living as this effing city, which is actually, I mean, I don't know about you, DJ, but like my friends are they're leaving. They cannot live here anymore. It has become insane, asinine. Not to mention the fact that half of the entire city was just on strike or affected by the strike.
Yeah.
I mean, what did they say that we lost $3 billion, or I think it was $6 billion.
Yeah, some billions amount of dollars. Yeah.
And it's like my waiter friends couldn't stay here because they're not getting the same clientele because they're working near the studios and there's nobody there for lunches. Like, it's just, anyway. So I do think 50%, I do think is probably the right decision because if the most of the people want it, I guess that's what we should do. But it is kind of alarmingly, even the 78% that it did pass by, It's like that is 22% of your members who actually voted. So we know that they are paying attention or at least are like active members. Yeah. 22% of those people were like, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot.
We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. Hopefully for the best. Hopefully for the best. Thankfully, I guess the looking at the silver lining, at least the strikes are behind us for now. And I do think both the WGA and SAG got good gains. And I do hope, obviously, that we've been focusing on this, but there's been labor action across the country. And I hope to see more of that because it feels like we're, as a human beings, we're facing existential threats beyond, like, you're right. Like, it is AI, but there's other climate change stuff like that, that collective action feels like the only possible way we might dodge some bullets. So more of that, please and thank you. But moving on real quick, I did want to, in the chat watching live, Jesus Orquiz, I believe is how it's pronounced. Sorry if I pronounced it correctly. Finally caught a live show. Thank you for joining us live. If you also want to join us live, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. We love our patrons. In fact, the show wouldn't exist without them. Now, for those waiting, we always love, Roxy loves talking video games.
Love.
And loves. And this week, after 10 years since the last Grand Theft Auto, since Grand Theft Auto 5, we got a trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6. For longtime players of Grand Theft Auto, we know there are three primary locations in the Grand Theft Auto universe. You got Liberty City, which is their stand-in for New York. You got Los Santos, which is their stand-in for LA. This game is set in Vice City, which is their Miami. And I got to tell you, Roxy.
It's called DJ Vice City?
Vice City. And I got to tell you, somebody that grew up in Florida, not Miami, but I grew up in Florida, I feel like this trailer captured that energy well. It's like, yeah, these are the glorious maniacs I grew up around.
DJ, when I was just looking at those two people on what you were showing me.
Yes.
Are these, like, is this like a through line? Are these the two characters in all? So
as far as I know, I didn't start playing Grand Theft Auto till 4. And I think that's still my favorite of the games. Each game has different protagonists. The last one, Grand Theft Auto 5, that came out in 2013, was the first time you were able to play more than one person. There was three characters you played. So this game, it looks like it's kind of a Bonnie and Clyde situation. It looks like there's going to be two leads. And this is the first time where there has been a female lead in a Grand Theft Auto game.
Okay, DJ, let me just hit you with my initial thoughts, knowing absolutely everything and yet nothing about what this is.
Yeah.
So, first of all, crazy that it's been 10 years. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Because guys talk about this like it is still the hottest of video games. So, I thought that there was one of these every year.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be sexist here, but when I say guys, I do mean guys because I've never heard a woman talk about this game.
Like I just said, this is their first female protagonist. You're not, as somebody that genuinely enjoys these games, you're not wrong.
In any negative kind of way. I have a lot of women who are gamers that are my friends, and I've never heard one of them talk about this. But so this is my understanding of looking at it by this poster, watching this trailer, and having a brief memory of watching my brother play this when we were kids.
Yeah.
So this seems like, and tell me if this is what this video game is. You're thefting auto. So yes. running around, stealing cars and stuff, you know, crime. But like, fuck bitches, get money. This is a dope scenery. We've got the tits. We've got the ass. We've got all the people that are lit city. There's a party. There's fire. There's people smoking by the garbages. Like, this is like... this video game is a vibe. It's like when you say Vice City, it's like Miami Vice. This is like a total, this feels like we are in the, I don't know, Miami in the 90s or some kind of like rage face. Just enjoy yourself. Not much of a story other than steal the car, get your bitch, move on forward. Am I getting the vibe of this or no?
So, for the most part, totally. You totally got the vibe. The only thing that I would disagree with is you're like, when you were like, no story. A lot of people do just play the open world part of it. At least for 4 and 5, the story's actually really good. And, okay, and so
there's a through line, like there is a, What is the story?
The story is, if you've ever seen any Scorsese gangster movie or any Tarantino gangster movie,
yeah,
or any one of those, it is those type of because functionally the games are a crime sim, but the stories themselves are kind of one of those like rags to riches. Scarface is another, especially in the earlier Grand Theft Auto. Actually, I think Grand Theft Auto Vice City, so probably this one as well. Scarface was a big influence. It is about, you know, getting your money, getting the ladies, that sort of thing. But there is and typically, and this is an element that I really respond to, is there's a lot of colorful characters. As you work your way up through the crime world, there's a lot of colorful characters you have to interact with and deal with and work around. But if you're a fan of like Goodfellas or Pulp Fiction or Scarface, and you've never checked out a GTA, for the people at home, never checked out a GTA, I actually think you'll find a lot in the stories, specifically, Grand Theft Auto 4 dealt with an Eastern European immigrant into Liberty City, New York City, aka Liberty City. And that's another element that I think the GTA games are really good at, is American satire, like really poking fun of like, fucking, aren't Americans fucking stupid? Aren't we all like kind of fucking out of our mind? And it's like, yeah, man. Yeah, we kind of are actually.
This seems fun. I'm into this. What did you say LA was called?
Los Santos. And that was the setting for GTA 5. And one of the reasons you probably like thought there was one of these every year is, GTA 5, I think, is where they introduced GTA Online, where you could, you know, there's the main story game, and there's one that you can play with your friends online, and they've been updating that for the past 10 years. Like, people still play GTA Online from GTA 5. I'm not good at the online play. I don't, you know, I like the story, single-player story stuff more. But, like, that...
How do you play with a friend, DJ? Like, if there's just one story...
It's completely different. So from what I understand, GTA Online is almost more along the lines of an MMO. You're on the map.
What's the word?
But like, massive multiplayer. So if you've heard people talk about World of Warcraft, this idea that you're like hundreds to thousands of people all playing on the same map with each other, doing different things, and their missions in GTA Online,
well,
and
like there's even story missions.
Yeah, we're going deep. But yes, yeah. And so GTA Online has had a very vibrant, thriving life for 10 years. Not for me, but like for a lot of people.
People talk about this all the time. Like,
yeah,
there's always somebody, I feel like, at Halloween who's doing some kind of Grand Theft Auto vibe. Like,
yeah,
this is just, I don't know. If you said to me, DJ, name 5 video games.
Mm-hmm.
Just like name 5 video games.
Yeah.
This would be one of them.
Yeah, what would the other 4 be?
Let's see,
you set yourself up for this, by the way.
Let's see if I can do it. Mario, Super Mario Brothers, Zelda.
Yep.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. This is 3.
That's 3.
You got 2 more.
Okay, let me think. Oh, Sonic.
Uh-huh. One had a hit TV show on HBO this year.
Oh, Last of Us.
Yeah.
Wow, that was very difficult.
Yeah.
You want to know why it was so difficult?
Why?
Does a word ever pop into your mind and you're like, oh, not that. That's not that. Not that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why. I just kept thinking Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider is one.
Oh, that is? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider is a video game. And that was the one reason why I thought you could do 5, is because enough of them have made it into other mediums.
Yeah, I probably could do, I know Walking Dead then has a video game too, right?
Yeah,
like,
but it didn't start as a video game.
You didn't ask me that.
That's okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
There's a lot of things that didn't start as one. If you're going to say, what's my favorite comic book movie? And then I pick a Batman movie, and then you're saying, but it didn't start as a movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm genuinely in my head still thinking, like, oh, Pokemon?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You did it. You nailed
Mortal
it.
Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Boom. Yeah. Yeah.
And you just had said one. You were like, oh, open world, like
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
There's the Halo TV show. So maybe you could have, you would have thought Halo.
Sure, not in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I nailed that assignment.
Yeah, you did. You demolished it. But yeah, I'm a big fan of, again, at least GTA 4 and 5, I'm a big fan of. I'm looking for, I like movies like Good Time. I like fucking Martin Scorsese. Like, this is my jam. And they tend to be a lot of fun. And of course, growing up in Florida. And what I didn't realize is, and this trailer, there's a lot of what appears to be like social media videos, and that in a lot of cases are actually direct parodies of actual social media, like girl bouncing her butt on top of car, actual social media video.
That was a sick moment. I was like, this is hysterical. What am I watching?
Yeah. And it's, and again, like, I don't know what it is about Florida. You know, the people make those jokes about Florida, and there are crazy people in every state. But having grown up in Florida, it's like, you're not wrong, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on in Florida. I don't know why Florida. If I was smarter or sociologist, maybe I'd be able to write a paper on what's going on in Florida. But hey, man.
But there, I mean, there's definitely truth to it. Like, you've, I'm sure, heard of the, like, Florida man searches that people do. You can do, like, anybody. This used to be a popular thing to do. If you type in Florida man and then your birthday, mm-hmm. there would be a news article about it. So like, if you were like Florida man July 13th, then you would say like, who's your, okay, what's your Florida man?
Whatever
they did on that day is your Florida man, because that's how many articles start with Florida man does something batshit. Like,
and I'm sure it wouldn't surprise me. Part of that is because Florida has that reputation, we find that stuff more, because, you know, you probably would like type in Texas man, it's like, I'm sure you could find some shit. You know, there's how many millions of people that live in LA or New York City or Boston. It's like, you and I live here. It's like, we know the crazy shit people get up to here. But there definitely is a different vibe in Florida. So I'm excited. I'm excited. Just like I was excited in the last game to, like, when you're driving around, quote unquote, Los Santos, and it's like, oh, I know this spot. This is the Galleria. I know this spot. I'm excited to, like, it won't be spots because I didn't spend a lot of time in Miami, but like, run into characters, you'll be like, I know this person. I grew up around this person.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So how many hours is it, DJ?
It depends on how you play. I sink a lot of time to open world games. I try to explore every corner. Although I will say, when you compare,
what would be a lot of time, like dozens or hundreds?
I mean, I think so. I just, another similarly open world game, it's a very different game. I replayed Witcher 3, and I might have put in 100 hours into it.
Wow.
And so I wouldn't surprise me.
Witcher.
Yeah, Witcher's one. GTA would be another one. Although I will say that the last Rockstar makes the GTA games. They also make the Red Dead Redemption games, which are westerns. Typically, with those. Actually, I did this with Witcher as well, and I still sunk that amount of time into it. They're so big that just for my own time's sake, I'm like, I'm not, they'll present like, you could do like these types of races. I'm like, I'm not going to do those. I'm making a choice. Typically, there's that part of my brain that, like, I want to do all the things. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm making a choice in my brain that I'm not going to do those things because it doesn't bring me joy, and there's only so much time.
This is a really silly question, but I was just thinking about it because obviously you have made a few comic books now, and of course I know about your filmmaking stuff, but would you ever make a video game? Like, is that even something that an independent person can do?
When I think more so now. When I was younger, when I was in high school, my original dream was I wanted to make video games.
Oh, that, and DJ, I feel like you would crush that.
And at the time, but see, that's the thing, is I didn't want to, I've never been a math brand guy, and at the time, mm-hmm, when you looked at your dream? At the time, when in high school, it wasn't like they were hiring writers for games. And now they do, but I have no fucking clue how you break into that field. And so what I realized was the appeal to me, even though I love the medium a lot, the appeal to me was the storytelling aspect of it. And so I was able to scratch that itch or explore that in movies and comics in a way that was, saying more attainable doesn't feel like the right phrasing, but at least there is a trajectory and there is a field of that. Like, I feel like even now, if you looked at like video game writers, you're talking about maybe five people.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're talking about, you know, the guys that
I have a friend who does that, I think.
You know, and maybe it's opened up more, but I don't know how, like, movies. Like,
do you
even
meet
though,
Lana Pierce? Did she ever come on the show? Is
no,
that
I
what
don't
she
think
does?
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe that's what she does. She's yeah. in video game development. Is that when you're a writer?
I think it could be a lot of things, and it could mean like programming and stuff. And I was never good at like the programming, math, all that stuff. And it's just like, I just want to write. I just want to tell those stories. And I just,
you would be so good at that, DJ.
Thank you.
We should get you that job.
Hey, listen, maybe if I become a successful comic writer or filmmaker, maybe they'll give me a call. But yeah, it's a cool medium. I love it. And I'll keep you. GTA 6 is not coming out till 2025. So
wow.
Stay tuned, everybody.
This probably had such an identity. I just like things that know exactly what they are. And this just felt like it knew exactly what it was.
100%. And it's one of those things, that I think would on the surface seems very, and not that there's not problematic elements to it, but like it seems a franchise that people focus on the aspect of you know, you're going around, you're stealing cars, you're picking prostitutes. And it's like, there's actually a lot more under the surface there that even when I played 4, I was like, wow, there's actually like a good story here. And it genuinely surprised me. Cool. So stay tuned, kids. I'll keep you updated as we get closer.
To 2025.
But now it is time. Speaking of staying looking forward to 2024. That's the next year. And we're going to do. So here's how we're going to do it, everybody. We got a list of some of your stuff that I'm going to read when we're done. But Roxy picked 4 things. I picked 4 things. And I'm going to put Roxy on the spot and have her go first.
Okay, DJ, I've split mine into TV and movies. What you want?
You're a TV gal. Let's do TV.
Okay. I'm going to start with the number one thing I'm looking forward to. My number one most anticipated thing of next year. Because it, to me, is like, if you lined up my top 50 things I'm looking forward to and told me you could watch all 50 of those or this one thing, I would pick this one thing.
Okay.
And that's Severance Season 2.
Is that next year? Is that next year?
It is supposed to be next year.
Okay.
So we had Severance Season 1 2022.
So long ago.
That was a very long time ago. They actually started filming Severance Season 2 pre-strike.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a plethora of issues seemingly between the showrunners. And some whatever it is, which is why I believe they haven't announced a premiere date. But the fact that they started filming this prior to the strike would, and everywhere, every outlet is saying this will air in 2024.
God, I hope
I also think there's just no way you can drop a season of Severance in 2022 and then wait until 2025. That seems egregious.
Yeah.
So we have to believe that this is coming out in 2024. I wouldn't say the top of. I would say I think we're probably looking at a fall 2024 for this, but holy shit, is this like, I mean, you know, DJ, you guys at home know, this is the it show. This is the thing that I am waiting for. This had the best season one finale of any show of the decade. Yeah. This was the mic drop of all mic drops. This was a what happens from here moment. And it has been over a year since we had that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely going to binge the whole show again before this. I cannot wait to see what happens. For anyone listening who hasn't seen this, I will not spoil it because this is like the must watch show of the 2020s so far. Yeah. And there's only been one season. The freshman year was so strong to me that the sophomore season, there's a massive potential for failure here.
Yeah.
But if it is great and if they figure it out, the payoff could be one of the best payoffs we've ever seen in television. So I'm just living for for Severance Season 2 this year, whenever it drops, if it drops on December 31st, I don't care. Let this come out next year.
Roxy, you remember when TV shows would come out with a season every year? That was cool. I liked that. I was into that.
But did you, DJ? Because remember, we had to watch 24 episodes of CW shows.
So. Listen, that was on us for the shows we picked. But it's just like, now, I don't know if you feel the same way, but now when it's like, wait, there's already season 3 of Reservation Dogs already came out. Oh, that's how most shows used to work, as they come out with a season a year. You didn't used to have to wait 2 to 3 years between seasons.
The waiting for years for a sequel to a movie works. Yeah. I believe that, like, in every other year for a movie franchise, people love to, like, build that anticipation up. It doesn't work as well for television because there's just so much content and so many things in similar tones that when you wait longer than a year, I think you piss your fans off and they get kind of itchy. I mean, obviously, we're going to see that that's not the case as everybody flocks back to Game of Thrones and Severance. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it never worked, but like, why? You couldn't put a TV show together in a year? Why?
I would like to see a little bit, and maybe I'm not reading the landscape correctly, but and maybe it's just the stuff I choose to watch. Maybe that's that it too. But it's like, I would like to see, you know, we've got a lot of prestige stuff like Severance and House of the Dragon and stuff like that. But it's like, I do miss, like, I feel like the only comfort show really out there is like Abbott Elementary. It's like that, there's still room for those shows.
I know. And that show is just so good and so, for the weirdest word ever for it, so rare right now.
Yeah.
Like, Abbott Elementary used to be the norm.
Yeah, that used to be what TV was.
And now it's like, I crave Abbott Elementary because we're just not getting it.
Yeah. Even something like, the only similar thing I can think of is maybe What We Do in the Shadows. Even that's one of those, it's like, you get like
that's so
8 episodes and it's, you know, like...
I don't feel that way about that show, even though I have seen it, and I just know it's not fully up my alley. That's like elevated satirical humor. It's not family sit down, watch the sitcom, workplace comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Even though people love that show.
Yeah, but even like, and I think we're going to see more of this, but even something like, and I didn't really watch these shows, but I think they label them as their Blue Sky series, like USA shows like Monk or Suits or whatever. And I know, I think I saw just an announcement either today or yesterday where USA is like, we're going to make more of those shows. And it's like, of course you fucking are. Suits is the biggest show on streaming right now. Of course you fucking are. But it's like, yeah, there's, even though like that stuff will never occupy my interest the way like Severance will.
Yeah.
It's good to have, like, you know, even those CW shows, as tired as we got at them by the end, it's like there's still, I think there's still space for those.
Yeah, I completely agree. I definitely agree.
Okay, I cheated a little bit. Oh, sorry.
It's just a big hole right now without those CW shows. That's kind of wild. Like, what is CW doing right now?
They were bought, and now their target audience is like 60-year-olds, I think.
But what shows do they have?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
I don't know a single show for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Since WB became CW.
Yeah.
The channel, in my entire life, for the first time, I cannot tell you a single show that's on CW. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So for my number four, I'm going the opposite. I'm going bottom up. I don't know. I mean, maybe not any particular order. But anyway,
I don't have an order for the rest of mine. So I just was making it clear that was my number one, but the rest are just kind of no order.
So this one's actually two comics. I was going to pick one, but there's actually two comics I'm looking forward to next year. So I'm cheating a little bit. One of them is there's a new Ultimate Spider-Man run by Jonathan Hickman. And I believe Marco Cecchetto is the artist on it. For those that don't know, the Ultimate Universe used to be kind of like Marvel's clean slate. You didn't need to know as much continuity. They've rebooted it. And so now it's kind of like all bets are off. We're kind of doing the stuff the main Marvel comic universe won't do. So in this universe, there's still some mystery here, but it appears that Peter Parker is not becoming Spider-Man until he's already in his like mid to late 30s, maybe early 40s. He's already married to Mary Jane. He's already got two kids with Mary Jane, and then he gets bitten by the spider. And so Jonathan Hickman kind of pitched this as if it were Peter B. Parker, referring to Spider-Verse, if this were like Ultimate Peter B. Parker. And it's like, that's fucking great. I wish that was mainstream Peter. We've already got Miles. Miles is around. We've got a movie and a video game showing that everybody loves Miles. Let Peter be an adult now. Miles can be young Spider-Man. Peter can be grown-up Spider-Man and have a family. So I'm excited for that.
DJ, you're about to throw a completely second comic book?
Yes.
That's the biggest cheat I've ever heard in my life.
But coming out at the same time. The other comic book is Vengeance of Moon Knight. There's a new Moon Knight in town. This is from Jed McKay, who's been writing Moon Knight, and his run's been really good. And so I'm excited to see their revamp of a character. Coming out the same month. They come out the same month, Roxy.
Did you know what a shamash is?
No.
The candle that you use to light the menorah is actually a ninth candle on the candelabra. So that's what we're going to give you that. That's our shamash then, because you cannot just sit here and give me two different. That'd be like if I said Severance and also Morning Show, because it's also on Apple TV. So
example. That's a good. Well, also, you know what? The last thing I'm going to mention is, and I think that should be my shamash, because it's kind of that is also kind of a cheat.
A massive cheat.
I mean, okay, so what's your next one? And I said you could cheat too, by the way.
I'm gonna do a movie.
Yeah.
And it's shocking that you guys know I'm not particularly into animated things. However, every year there's something that pulls at my heartstrings that I'm just like, oh, this is so good. And the one that kind of like unleashed the beast inside me was Inside Out. So Inside Out 2.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait for this. I'm a little nervous, kind of like Severance, where Inside Out is maybe my number one Pixar.
It's a good one.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
And it causes you to if you're like me, look inside yourself. Think about your emotions, what comes out when, how we feel about certain things. And it was one of the movies that I was watching that I felt could have a sequel because we laid that world out and you wanted more. And from what we've seen so far, I have faith that this is going to be good. And if it is great, then, to me, Toy Story 1, 2, 3, and 4, all good.
Agreed.
I actually even liked Lightyear. As good as Toy Story movies, but like when you love the world that they've created, Pixar tends to do a decent job with that. On the other side of it, a lot of people didn't like Finding Dory nearly as much as they liked Finding Nemo. Yeah. So this could be an issue. And also, Elemental kind of in some ways, almost like a sequel to Inside Out. The same vibes. So I just think that this is top of my list. Cannot wait for Inside Out 2. Really hoping that this, if I'm not crying by the end of this, I don't think it did its job. And I could use a good movie on the books that is going to make me tear up.
Yeah. Love it. I think that's a great choice. I too am excited for Elemental. A little bummed.
Inside
Out. What did I say?
Elemental, which...
You tricked me. You seeded Elemental in my brain. I threw myself off.
You tricked me on purpose.
How deceptive. No, by mentioning something else, so then I got myself confused. I know there was a little, people are a little bummed that Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling aren't returning, but I'm with you right there. I think the trailer was great. I'm excited to see what those new emotions are. When they're introducing anxiety, I'm like, yes, this movie's already speaking my language. Yes.
The anxiety one, there was a reason why it became immediately gift everywhere. Everybody, come on. After the years that we've had, that was the one. And I do have a lot of confidence in that. That's what we need. And I really, really like Maya Hawke.
Yeah.
I think she's really good. And anxiety is real, my dude.
So I think for me, it was tough for me. I was struggling a little bit because it was just hard to pinpoint what actually is coming out next year. And then a lot of the stuff that I tend to love most in a year, I don't know about. I think the Safdie brothers are supposed to have a new movie next year. Maybe, but I won't know that until a month before it's out.
Yeah, it's like the A24 movies that we don't know as much about, but then usually are one of my or your favorites. By the way, A24 signing that deal with HBO Max, we didn't talk about that.
Because I don't know about it. What deal did they sign?
Oh my God, DJ. I'm not doing my job very well, am I? All A24 movies going to HBO Max.
Good for them. That's a good... Good job. Good job, Max. That's a good... Of all the bad calls you've made, that one is a good fit.
I mean, huge. Like, to align their brand with prestige movies yet again to be that... The premium location. Because A24 is, to me, the number one of the studios creating work. Like, they just make unbelievable movies. And they're backlogging everything, too. So, like... Yeah, there's a movie I've been talking about for a while now called Mid-90s. Did you ever check it out?
No, it's a Jonah Hill joint, right?
Jonah Hill produced it, and it's the, like, in the 90s and kid skateboarding movie. Yeah. This is a very cool energy movie, really interesting world, cool vibe. But things like that that nobody ever saw or has a chance to see. Yeah. I'm excited for A24 to be able to, and obviously, you know, Marcel Lachelle is, like, my favorite movie of years. So things like that, that's huge and awesome. Just a great success. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for them all to be there. What made me say that? Why did I say the HBO?
Because my point being that it was hard for me to pick some certain things, but I did land on, and I felt I did some soul searching, and I was like, am I just saying this because we talked about it last week? And it's like, no, I do think this is one of my most anticipated of the stuff I know about. And it is Furiosa. Because I love Mad Max Fury Road. And while I am nervous that this can't match that, I also, like we were talking about with GTA, when you talk about something being like a vibe, it's like, I like the vibe. I like the Mad Max world, even before the Fury Road ones. I like that universe. I think George Miller is a solid director. So even if this is a mid Mad Max movie, it will probably be a movie I greatly enjoy.
I cannot, and I don't want to say this, don't put too much weight in this, DJ, but I cannot picture this movie not being at least borderline good.
Yeah. Like, I think the only thing will be, does it reach those expectations? Because sometimes you'll go out of a movie more bummed because you had these expectations for it. Right. And maybe that'll be true, but...
You never know going in if a movie's going to be great, but I do feel very strongly that this movie's going to at least be good. Yes. It's definitely on, like, if I was putting together a top 10 or top 20 list, this is for sure up there for me, too.
Yeah.
I hope this is excellent. I really hope so. And I really loved that trailer. So I think it's got potential for sure.
Well, also... I wouldn't mind a Furiosa franchise, specifically if this leads up to, this is Anya Taylor-Joy, who's great, but if this leads up to more Charlize Theron Furiosa movies, it's like, yes, sign me up.
Totally. Yeah, that's what we're here for. Okay, what's next for you? On my list. So I guess everything of mine is a two. Severance 2, Inside Out 2. This next one is Dune 2.
Yeah.
I am... really looking forward to Dune 2. I loved the first Dune, but I think that the second Dune is going to be better because where we end off in the first Dune, people were kind of bummed that it wasn't a more full story.
Yeah.
And I think that the second Dune is going to answer a lot of things that made people like, oh, but we didn't get this or this, you know, it's just like a part one. I think we're going to get a lot from Dune 2. And at the very least, it is the most beautiful movie ever. So it's like when you are going into a movie and you are a film lover, you know that Dune is going to look phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about the story as well, but I'm curious about it because I don't know. I didn't read the books. So I'm excited and curious, but also like for me, this is a total eat my edibles, go to the theater, stare at something that is miraculous at the minimum.
Yep. Mike Joyce in the chat says, here's hoping Dune 2 will do well enough that they can make Dune Messiah, which is the second Dune book, but I guess would be the third Dune movie.
Yeah. I can't picture that not. I think that Dune 2 is going to do exceptionally well.
I'm looking forward to Dune 2 just because I normally like part twos more than I like, especially if we're like dividing a book or a pre-existing thing into two parts. I tend to like the second part more because I like that more definitive conclusion. And I do think there was a missed opportunity to call it Dunes, but make the S at the end the two. Just saying, just throwing that out
like
there.
I feel like it's a nice world, DJ.
I'm just saying.
That's very Gen Z of you.
Dunes. So for me, I guess I'm in a post-apocalyptic mood because the other thing I'm most looking forward to is the new Fallout show. I think it's coming to Prime. Actually, I don't know where it's coming from. But
the Yellow Jackets, that's Ella Purnell.
Yes. She is the lead. She's the lead in it. I think the trailer dropped since we spoke last week, so I was going to put it in news. But then I was like, I know it's going to be in my top four. So I'm speaking of video games, I'm a big fan of the Fallout video games. I think that world's really cool. I think they're doing something really smart with this show in that, like GTA, each Dune game takes place in a different... for those that aren't familiar, Dune takes place in an alternate reality where kind of like a retro 50s futuristic world that got nuked to hell. And most Dune games take 100-ish years after the nuclear apocalypse. And there are people that live in these vaults that survive it's generations, like multiple generations have lived in these vaults since the apocalypse. And you normally play a character leaving the vault for the first time and being exposed to the wasteland and all the weird inhabitants and monsters that occupy it. So I think it was Fallout 4 took place in Boston. Fallout 3 took place in D.C. Fallout the show is apparently in the same continuity as the games, but takes place in L.A., and there's a lot of like weird kooky characters. Walton Goggins plays basically like a zombie sheriff, and that is just great. I love Walton Goggins, and I'm so excited see him do that.
Did the Fallout that took place in Boston come out around the same time as The Last of Us?
When did Fallout 4 come out?
This is kind of interesting, like that Boston was the setting for that apocalyptic show.
Hey, listen, people want 2015. I'm gonna say no. When did Last of Us 1 come out?
No idea.
One. That's the remake. Don't give me the remake. When did the 2013? Oh, interesting. So the first Last of Us came out in 2013. Fallout 4 in Boston came out in 2015. Maybe it was influenced by it. You've got like super mutants and they're not called zombies but functionally zombies and
are they called mutants?
There's a lot of creatures that were mutated by the Fallout. One of them is super mutants, and they're these giant like Hulk looking like green people, the Hulk looking people. And there's ghouls that are like zombies, but they retain their intelligence. Some of them retain their intelligence, and that's what Walton Goggins is playing. He's playing a ghoul that's also the sheriff of a town in this. So there's just a lot of different factions, and if they nail the tone right, which is kind of like there's a comedic bite to it, there's a satirical bite to it. If they nail that, and it's from Jonathan Nolan, who did Westworld, and I did not love Westworld, so truthfully that makes me a little nervous. But I think if you capture that fall. No, I watched season one and I'm like, I'm good. I started season two and I'm like, this show is too circuitous. It keeps like circling back in on itself. I can't. And I know in some ways that's thematic, but it drove me up a wall. So I stopped watching like three episodes into season two, which is that just not for me. Just not for me.
Okay.
So yeah, but looking forward to Fallout. That's my number three.
Are you ready for mine?
Yes.
I am hitting you with another two.
Yeah.
Second season of a show that DJ recommended to me. Silo.
Yeah.
Oh, my dude. I think it's my number one. I haven't finished my list for this year. I'm going to be doing that this week, but I think it's my number one show of the year.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's so good. It's funny. Somebody in the chat mentioned it earlier. So saying something sounded like Silo. Oh, Leonard said it. When you were talking about Fallout, he was saying it sounded similar to Silo, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, I loved this show. I think that it is like Severance in the fact that the finale made me be like, oh, I won't be able to live without a season two of this. Mm-hmm. Because what just happened?
Yeah.
And because there are the books, immediately I started Googling, like, what were they just telling me? Like,
yeah,
what happens at the end, I don't want to give it away to anybody, but visually is you have questions. You're like, oh, is this this? Could this be this? What does this imply? What does this mean?
Yeah.
I think this is what's happening, but is this what they think is happening? All of those things. And I love shows that present a question in episode one for the audience. Through their characters, they try to figure that out. And then by the end of the first season, in the most like perfect way, they answer the question without answering it all.
Yeah, they answer the initial question, which opens the doors to other, like, okay, so what are the implications of this answer?
Right, like, oh, that's not what I thought that was going to be. And now that that is what that is, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
So it was so great because it didn't leave you with nothing. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a complete story of a season one, of a chapter. And I'm just wildly curious about this. It's so well done. It has some of the best performances on TV. It just is like truly, truly unbelievable. And I'm stoked for a season two, which is, again, supposed to come out 2024. No date attached to it yet. Mm-hmm. But it seems like this will be, I don't think that this will be even that deep into the year.
Yeah, and before I would be a little worried, like maybe a show like this is a multiple year wait. But I know For All Mankind is another Apple TV Plus show that feels tonally similar and like scale of show wise similar to Silo, and that's been coming out every year. So it's like, that's right. You got to remember, DJ, some shows still put out a season a year. It'll be okay.
Is For All Mankind good? Do you watch
it? I've been watching it. I'm partway through season one, and it's been real good so far. And I know I have some friends that love it. And I feel like it's worth pointing out that two of the four things you're most excited for are Apple TV Plus shows.
I know. Wow. I love what they do. And honestly, Morning Show was like one of my favorite shows of the last few years as well. I love, love what they do. And one of my favorite movies this year was an Apple movie too, Fingernails. So yeah. I think that they are absolutely killing it for me right now. They might be my number one network, but I'm just stoked for this. Speaking of For All Mankind though, I believe that Andrew Guy, who's in Always Lola, I think he's in an episode of that.
Oh shit, I'll keep an eye out.
Yep.
Do you know what season?
The most recent I think he's in a finale episode of something recently.
I'll stay tuned, and if you all watch For All Mankind, let me know real quick. I want to save my Shamus, was that the extra ninth one? All right. I want to save that for last. I'm going to read off, I asked in the Discord. You guys didn't keep it to eight, by the way. No, I'm going to ask. I asked you all what you're most looking forward to. A new guy says, supposedly Arcane Season 2 comes out in November 2024. If that sticks, easily my most anticipated. I'll say Arcane Season 1 was real good, so I'm looking forward to that.
Everybody has been about Arcane, and it's making me want to watch it. But I think Steph just told me that show came out like 5 years ago.
It's been out for a while. And I watched it late. I think I watched it like last year or something, and it had already been out a while when I watched it. So yeah, it's been a wait. And that one ends on like a legit, like, you know, Silo is sort of a cliffhanger, but like you said, like it completes a thought.
Yeah.
Arcane ends on like a cliffhanger. It's like to the point where I was like, wait, is that that's really your last episode?
Okay.
So stay tuned, everybody. Jake Hefner says Dune Part 2, Godzilla X Kong, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Deadpool 3, Joker 2. Wait, what? Mufasa the Lion King? Is that real? And yeah, that's coming out next year?
I was like, whoa, huh?
What? All right. There are a few holdouts too, like Jordan Peele's next movie and Nosferatu. I'm looking forward to that Nosferatu movie. Mike Joyce said, and I thought about stealing some of these, but I wanted to stay true to my original picks. Mike Joyce said Mickey 17, which is the new movie from the guy that directed Parasite, and it stars Robert Pattinson and a bunch of other great people. So it's like, that should be cool. Challengers Furioso Nosferatu for TV, The Sympathizer, The Regime, The Penguin, and The Boys Season 4. Leonard Kim says for TV, Avatar The Last Airbender. Avatar The Last Airbender. Agatha Darkhold Diaries. That's got to be
is
like.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, it's like the third time they've changed its name.
Darkhold Diaries?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Star Trek Discovery, The Umbrella Academy, Vikings Valhalla for movies, Dune Part 2, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, Inside Out 2, and Deadpool 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Sasiketa said, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Quiet Place Day 1, Argyle. Are you really excited for Argyle, Sasik? Are you
Argyle I'm really? So excited for Quiet Place. Of this list so far, or all of these, Joker is so high for me too, and Quiet Place. Oh my God, love
that franchise. Sasik also says Ballerina. Is that coming out next year? That's wild. Deadpool 3 for TV, Creature Commandos, The Penguin, The Boys Season 4, Cobra Kai Season 6. And Clementine says, Transformers 1, ILM's first animated feature. That'll be interesting. Dune 2, Deadpool 3, Furiosa, Andor Season 2. I hate to break it to you, Kim, with that. I don't think that's coming out in 2024. I think Andor is going to be a 2025 joint, if that. Fallout, Tales of the TMNT, which I guess he says, I absolutely loved Mutant Mayhem. So a cartoon with that cast is an instant watch. Is that set in the same universe? Because I will watch that shit. Mm. So the last thing, run along, but I do want to mention things that I'm excited for, that now that the strikes are over, feels like we should be able to do this. And if you guys have been paying attention, I've been dropping little teases. There will be more at the beginning of the new year. But I'm going to be doing a Kickstarter for a film project called Gunplay. If you go to gunplaymovie.com, you can sign up to the pre-launch page. There's a lot more to announce. Little tease, Roxy's a part of the project too. But there'll be full cast announcements in January. A lot on the horizon.
I want to see photos, DJ.
I'm still finishing up some of the photo stuff. I decided to make some adjustments, but I'll send it your way.
We
had to hold off due to the strike. The campaign was supposed to happen July or August of last year, and this year. That's right, we're still in 2023. Due to the logistical hurdles around the strike and where we were at within the production, we had to wait. And now that the strikes are officially over, Roxy knows this. I sent an email out after the strikes ended, and then it was like, you know, I'm gonna hold off doing extra work on this until after the 5th. I don't want to get re emotionally invested.
Totally. Yeah. DJ, what can I say and what can I say?
Can I say anything about this? I think you can say that. Cast announcements will start in January, and people, if they want to sign up for the pre-launch page,
I read the script?
Yes.
Okay, because I just did say that.
Yeah.
I love this script.
Thank you.
I love this script. Like, yeah. DJ and I went and grabbed coffee to talk about it, and it's so fucking good. It's really smartly written, and in a way that I feel like doing the Kickstarter, he is every dollar he's asking for, he's like putting into so much thought into where he is spending it. I'm saying he, like, you're not sitting here. But because of that, like, it was written with the fact that it is crowdfunded in mind, so that this can be like, you're not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Yeah. This is like really truly the perfect way to crowdfund a movie that actually will look like $1 million. And I love the script, and I think that it's awesome, and I really hope people support it so that we can do this
100%. And like I said, full cast announcements will be January, although a little teaser, Roxy is a part of it, so keep that in mind. Also, this is the second time I've had to delay this project. Originally I was going to do the campaign in 2019. No, this is the third time I had to delay it. I had to delay it in 2019 for personal reasons, and I delayed it to 2020, and we all know what happened in 2020. So the road for this, and when Roxy's talking about the script, like, I think the iteration she saw, I've been writing the script for like 10 years. So my point is, this has been a long road.
I read two.
Oh, that's right. God damn.
I read
that's
one. Right.
Well, yeah, you read back in 2019. You read like a way early version. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I like that one too.
Listen, for everybody at home, there's some people like Roxy and other cast members in this that will be announced soon that have been on this journey with me for years. So if not for me, for God's sake, for them, support this.
Yeah, no, I read this before I was a part of this. Like when you were doing other stuff with it. Yeah, I definitely, this is a journey I want to take. But you know what? I feel very confident in movies that you stick with. It's kind of like how I feel. If you just stay at being an actress for long enough, it will happen for you. Like, you don't meet any 90-year-old actors who are like, I never quit, but I also never made it. Like, if you just stick with it. And the fact that, like, I was talking to Jeff Graham this week on Live with Roxy about Always Lola, and he wrote it in 2018.
Yeah.
And it came out last week. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because he was just relentless about it. And you've been relentless about this, DJ, because you're like, this is it. This is what I'm making. And I'm going to make this come hell or high water. And hopefully people want to help with that. And I think they will, because it's stellar. But also, it's okay that it hasn't taken 2 seconds.
Yeah. Thank you for all of that. And very excited to tell you all more. But gunplaymovie.com. Wait, can I put... I should have made myself a little banner. That's fine. Gunplaymovie.com. You're going to be hearing about it more in the coming months.
Wait, can I put a little thing? It is your show. You can do whatever it is.
My issue is I can create a little banner that I can put up, but my keyboard's over there. The keyboard that connects to what I'm seeing here is over there. Anyway, I bungled it. But the
struggle is real.
Links in the description. Speaking of Always Lola, there'll be links in the description. There was a little bit of an issue with last week's link. I updated it. We won't have those issues this week.
Wow, did you try to sabotage me, DJ?
No, it was on the website, there's like a watch here thing, and I went to that link, and for some reason, when I put the link in the YouTube description, it didn't work. So, the new link works. Mm-hmm. The link here will work. If you want to go support Always Lola, I highly recommend it. Really enjoyed it. There will be links to Roxy's social media and stuff like that. But Roxy, where can the kids find you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter/X.
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
And we will see you all next time.